Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. How's your day going? I know a lot of you are experiencing a lot of sunshine right about now. What do you think about it? Those of you who are in the offices and you're able to look out the windows and see that sun shining brightly, are you liking what you're seeing? You know, speaking of looking out the window, how many of you really got into the whole notion of having those new offices that were really being touted big time some years ago? And they were saying that the new concept was going to be open floor plan, where there would be very, very few real offices. Instead, all the desk areas would be essentially all in the center of one huge space. And people would have either cubby holes with the cubicles, or they would just have just their desks, not even with cubicles. So that they were saying they would be able to communicate with each other more and therefore become more productive. They thought that this would be a great way for people to just be more open with each other, communicate, develop stronger bonds, better relationships, et cetera, et cetera. And again, with one of the big goals be to become more productive. What were your thoughts about that when you were reading about that, hearing about that? I tell you what, I was thinking to myself, well, I can see how people would have an easier time talking with each other if there are fewer physical barriers. But how many people would prefer that? Because a lot of times people like some level of privacy, even if it's not totally an office. The other thing I was thinking about was, if you have all those people out there, out in the open, their desks are all in the open, centrally located within a huge area, would it make the environment louder than it would normally be? And to the point where the loudness of people talking so freely with each other became a distraction. And then, of course, thinking about the possibility of the loudness being possibly distracting, I can't help but wonder if, instead of becoming more productive, the company overall would have become less productive, because now people are distracted almost every hour that they're on the job. Every day, every hour of every day that they go to work, distracted by noise that they can't do anything about. And in my thinking, that's even more challenging than if a person, say, just needs to be coached because they're spending too much time on social media while they're supposed to be working. And I know some of you might be saying, but hold up now, distraction is distraction. I agree, distraction is distraction. But if you can coach someone, and if necessary, even write them up eventually if they don't get it, that may be, and you have 5, 6, 8 people out of 20, 25, 30, who are spending too much time on social media, it may be easier to get a handle on that kind of distraction than to get a handle on a distraction that you can't do anything about until you change the physical environment. Because, you know, you're talking about maybe 8, 12 people out of 35, 40 distracted because they're on social media. But if you have all of your people distracted because of all the noise that's going on all the time, that's going to be real difficult to get a handle on. So as it turns out, I was reading recently, maybe in the last 2, at most 3 weeks, but I think about 2 weeks ago, that some of the companies that were really excited about that concept and dived in and dove into it are regretting it because they're saying they're not getting any real benefits from it. Few, if any, real benefits. So they're thinking about going back to what they used to do, building the office space. I can dig it. I can dig it. Got to do what's going to really work and work well. Well, today is Thursday. That helps us kind of, you know, that conversation that we just had helps us kind of look back to what was going on, look into the present at what is going on, look into the future a little bit as to what might be going on with regards to office space and how it will be designed. So let's let that brief look into the future take us into the future. Let's look some more at what's happening, what might be happening in time to come. We're still taking a look. We're really, really, should we say, delving into this whole notion of artificial intelligence, humanoids developing souls or eventually gaining souls. Now, here's a question I have for you. If the time comes, and I am emphasizing the word if the time comes when the artificial intelligence receives a soul, do you think that it will be mankind, the engineers and computer technologists, etc., who will develop the souls or create the souls and make them available to the humanoids, the artificial intelligence? Or do you think the artificial intelligence will develop and make available the souls themselves? Now, a lot of that still has to do with how you define soul. And we've been talking about that quite a bit the last few weeks that we've been having this discussion. And I want to pose this. Soul. That part, that immaterial part of a human being, an animal, that has the life in it. If it leaves, life leaves. Of course, I know that life is in the blood. You lose too much blood, you die. When you die, ultimately, you have a situation wherein the spirit, the immaterial part of us, and again, please don't hear me say immaterial and interpret insignificant. Not what I'm saying. Immaterial, from the word matter. And of course, matter is just that physical, that which can be seen, felt, heard, etc. The immaterial part of us leaves the material or physical part of us, dies. So let's say you have a humanoid that has artificial intelligence inside. It can think, it can talk, it can play chess, it can clean up, it can look after people who may, you know, have some challenges taking care of themselves, etc. And let's say, let's just for the time being, just say, we still don't know if they'll ever have a soul or not. All right, so that said, would a humanoid ever be able to die? Would you say it could be destroyed? And when I say destroyed, I don't mean obliterated to the point where it no longer exists. That's not what I mean. I mean messed up to the point where it no longer works. Whether, you know, somebody uploads a virus and the artificial intelligence goes kaput, no longer works. Or humanoid, somebody takes a bat and bam, 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 starts bashing its head. So I'm just asking now, it no longer works. So it's no longer able to take care of our loved ones. It's no longer able to play chess with us. It's no longer able to hold a conversation with us. Is it dead the way a human would be dead if its head, if his or her head were bashed in and he or she no longer worked? Is that humanoid dead the way a human would be dead? Now let's say, okay, we introduce this whole notion of the soul. One of the things that some of the humanoid, artificial designers, creators, developers are working on is even getting the artificial intelligence to the point where they can desire whatever, things, relationships. They want to get them to the point where they have bona fide desires. Now, if they ever get them to the point where they have desires, would it be just a mental thing? In other words, their programs, software programmed to think about what the humanoid wants. Well, if they can get them to that point where they have desires the same way humans desire. I mean, how many of you have ever wanted something or someone so intensely that it's almost like you could sense some kind of feeling you wanted it, her, him so much? I've got to have this person in my life. I've got to get that job. I've got to get that promotion. I've got to get that car. Whatever it is. And I mean, your desire was so strong that you could tell you were beginning to experience something unpleasant going on inside you because you were desiring, but you weren't getting. And your desire grew stronger, stronger, stronger until finally you gave up on whatever the desire was. If artificial intelligence, humanoids, are programmed to have desires, would they be able to desire, experience desire, the way humans sometimes experience desire? How many of you have ever wanted someone, you told them something, and you really, really, really wanted them to believe you? And your desire to have them believe you was so strong that you just began to try to figure out ways to put the belief in their heads. I got to get this person to believe me, whether you were lying or telling the truth. Maybe you're someone who has lied often, and the person got to the point where they stopped believing you. They stopped giving you the benefit of the doubt. And something came up, and one day, although liars always want people to believe everything they say, including and sometimes especially their lies, sometimes you get to a point where some of these people just really, really want this particular statement to be believed. It's almost as though you can feel their spirit, their soul, just stressing over their inability to get that person to believe what they just said. Do you suppose humanoids could ever have desires? And if so, could they desire that way? How much like us would humanoids ever be? Because, of course, that is the goal, to get them to the point where they are just like us, and eventually to get them to the point where they are better than us. That's the long-term goal, to get humanoids to the point where they are better than humans. So that said, let me ask you this. If the planners and conceivers are successful in programming humanoids to experience desires, would their desires be entirely different from the desires that humans experience? Or would they begin to desire all the various things relationships that humans experience, desire. For example, we know that the plan is to make and develop more and more humanoids, artificial intelligence that can take the jobs that humans hold. Will the humanoids want to be able to climb up the ladder, the organizational ladder, and get promotions the way humans often want to? Will you find some humanoids who truly want to help build a better society where more and more people get along with each other across ethnic lines, etc., and start reducing the drama? On the other hand, would we have humanoids, if they're ever able to desire to help create drama? Egging this group up against that one. Remember, this isn't the same thing, but from what we're being told, the Russians have been using bots in the computers to pit one group against the other right here in the good old USA. They were doing it during the 2016 presidential campaign, and they're still doing it now. Will we get to the point where artificial intelligence becomes so autonomous that it will determine its own desires? And if so, will we see some of the same strengths of human desire in humanoids? Will we see some of the same weaknesses and flaws and problems in humanoid desiring that we see in human desiring? All of this tying in with the whole notion of whether or not artificial intelligence will ever have a soul. Artificial intelligence pioneer Marvin Minsky, as a reminder, said that artificial intelligence could one day develop a soul. And he defined it as the word we use for each person's idea of what they are and why. And remember last week I pointed out that it was so interesting that Marvin Minsky said we have this idea of what they are instead of saying we have an idea of who we are. Sounds like he's kind of pushing us in the direction of thinking more about artificial than human. I'll be right back.